Thank you so much for joining us, Catriona.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me, Ruby.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, how does the media influence our understanding of being healthy?
Well, there's quite a few different ways. And the first thing is it draws our attention to specific things. So it can make things very salient on the front page of the newspaper, at the top of the news bulletin, repeatedly shown on social media. And that tells us that we need to think about this. So obesity is clearly seen as a problem, and it gets a lot of media coverage. Physical activity, not quite so much, but it's also seen as a problem. And sitting too much recently got a lot of news media coverage. So the media tells us what to think about, but they also tell us how to think about those things. So when we analyzed news media coverage of obesity and overweight, what we found was the overwhelming majority of the news media coverage is telling us that fat people are responsible for their own weight, and this kind of underplays the many things that drive obesity that are beyond individual control.
Absolutely. And with shows like The Biggest Loser, for example, how does the media shape our understanding of and reactions to the problem of obesity?
Well, The Biggest Loser is extraordinary because it's, first of all, it's a lot of airtime for people who are of a larger size, and we get to see their faces for a change, which is lovely. We hear their personal stories, and that's also lovely. And they're so inspiring, and we know this inspiration is actually reaching the audience because we interviewed 46 members of the public from a different range of ages and different range of weights. And they really, they have a lot of positive things to say about The Biggest Loser and how it contributes to public health education. They had a few critiques too, but the point about The Biggest Loser is it's one of the few spaces, and I did this research with Philip Mills, one of my research assistants, and we found that compared with news coverage, The Biggest Loser is much more likely to show the faces of large people. And unfortunately, when you take people's faces out of the equation, you're actually dehumanizing them and offering them to the audience as sort of things rather than people, which is not good for their self-esteem.
Of course. Now, many criticize reality TV shows like Love Island and The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, for only recruiting skinny or fit people. Now, how does this kind of further influence our perceptions on larger bodies?
Well, it's a huge influence in lots of different ways. I think I'd like to go back to Naomi Wolf and her book, The Beauty Myth, where she basically says all of us are subjected to this measurement of our beauty quotient, and ugly people need not apply. And unfortunately, obesity is seen as both ugly and a personal failure. That's not my view, but it's certainly propagated. And so people want their TV shows to be successful. They want to build an audience. They're aiming at young people, and young people tend to be lighter, although not so much these days. And they're easy on the eye, and it's easy for beautiful people to identify with them, or not so beautiful people to aspire to look like that. So it's all very inspiring, unless it leads to feeling negative about your body and engaging in comfort eating or worse, you know, eating disorders are not directly driven, I don't think, by reality TV. But there is this basic idea that, you know, if you're not young and beautiful, you're never going to be a success, unfortunately.
Absolutely. There is this kind of a perception of like only beautiful people are successful. And we see that because they're only putting certain portrayals of beauty into the media, like not just reality TV, it's everywhere. So how can we be more critical and I guess have a more kind of rational view of such representations?
Well, first of all, the media can pay more attention to the things that do shape our food and activity environments, and particularly our soft drink environments. For example, lack of access to public transport forces people to commute by car. The longer your commute is by car, the more at risk you are of weight gain. We need to think about prevention, because once the weight is on, although we see all these success stories of people losing weight successfully, what we actually know is that the weight comes back, and sometimes worse. So we had this very powerful message that if you just eat less and move more, it'll all go away. And we know that doesn't work. The individual approach doesn't work. So we need to think about bigger things like supporting and building public transport. So, for example, the light rail, although it's copped a bit of flack in the media, it's got to be a great thing for Sydney, because it's helping people get out of their cars and use active transport. Yes, there's so much to say, it's hard to know where to begin. But in terms of media coverage, more respectful coverage, actually, if you find yourself, sorry, you're on radio, so you're not going to be necessarily choosing pictures of people without a face showing, but if any journalist or media person finds themselves using a picture of a large person without a head, that's a signal that you haven't actually asked a large person what they think about the current issue.
Absolutely, it just completely dehumanizes them. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Catriona. It's been great to talk to you about this.
Thanks very much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.